Explain to us what it is like at home with you and your mom and dad, or if you're a parent, how difficult or easy it is to talk to your little ones or young adults at home. That's the whole topic of conversation. 4242-1048 if you want to call us. We have two lovely panelists in the house. We have Prerna, certified parent educator from Parenting Matters. And we also have Dhruv, who's 19 years old. So it's nice to have a youngster in the studio this beautiful Wednesday morning. It's Live and Let Live Wednesday, so there's also some great music that keeps us company. And it's also the season of being merry, being jolly. It is the Christmas season. So yep, anytime during this conversation, if you want to tell us what your family is doing for Christmas, what's cooking at home, that's something that you could call us and talk to us about as well. Prerna, good morning and welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jane.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Nice to be here.
All right. So tell us, Prerna, what would you like to introduce this topic as?
So I think I'd like to start by raising a question, and this question goes out to all parents, that why do we communicate differently with our children and differently with our friends and other adults in our life? And you know, the same thing, say if my friend comes to me and says that, oh, my boss yelled at me, or I've lost my job, or you know, something that, or like that, or maybe my child, and the same thing, if my child comes and tells me that my teacher yelled at me, or you know what, today my boss yelled at me, it's so unfortunate that as a parent, that you know, that strong conditioning comes up that I'm here to teach my child, to, you know, to, if my child has made a mistake, I must point it out and I must tell him, you know, explain to him how things work. That really comes in the way. And
is this a parent-child thing, or is this just an Indian thing, or is this a human thing? I mean, you've got to point it out to somebody. The log in your eye, you don't really see, but that little speck in that other person's eye, you got to point it out. Otherwise, you just cannot be.
I think I would agree with you, Jane. It is just a human thing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go across to Dhruv, who joins us right now. Dhruv, good morning and welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing great.
All right, so tell us, what do you do, Dhruv?
I'm in Loyola College, first year, pursuing BCom.
BCom, alright. Yeah. So, it was your choice completely?
Yeah. Actually, I shifted to Loyola from Bangalore.
Okay.
So,
you studied in Bangalore?
Yeah.
You're studying there?
No. I did 3 months of my college there initially.
Okay.
And my parents were quite supportive to my decision of coming back.
Okay, and so your parents are in Chennai?
Yeah.
Okay, you did your schooling in Bangalore or in Chennai?
No, in Chennai.
In Chennai, so yeah. You went for 3 months, came back, and all of that happened. Generally, what's it like at your home? Like, in your home, in your space, how is it? Is otherwise cross? Can you talk about everything? Or are there certain things you can talk about and certain things you have to really think about?
I pretty much can talk about most of the things, but again, it takes a little bit of...
Are you a Chennai boy? You speak Tamil?
Yeah, I speak Tamil.
Okay, you're in the part of Chennai?
Keelpok,
so that's your area. So tell us, like, what are those things that you can talk about, and what are those things you're like, okay, now I need to think about it?
Okay, so...
like, tell me truthfully, honestly, yeah?
Yeah, so talking about things that, like, happen on a daily basis... mainly things pretty much that are significant and which I think that would be significant worth sharing. And
significant worth sharing. Ninga first year college la padikringa sir. Adena what can be so significant that, you know, that is exactly only what you can share, like grades and marks and which college and all of that. You're talking about those kind of things.
And like, if your parent comes and asks you, like, what did you do all day, I mean, something.
What if you bunked?
No, then my parents would pretty much know that I bunked, so...
You tell them that if you want to bunk, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool at home. Alright, you can talk about it. So these are things you can tell them.
Yep.
What are the things you can't tell them or you can't talk about? Are they listening in now?
Yeah, so I can't really say that.
Let me make it easier for you. So is it easy to talk about girls to your parents?
Yeah, it depends on what the mood is like.
Okay.
So you need to be very strategic with that.
Strategic, I like that word. So what, unless it's a serious girlfriend, I don't think you want to really go and talk about the person.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, not otherwise, right?
No.
But generally, conversations about girls, about what the guys do outside when they go on a boys' night out, those are things you'd rather keep it to yourself.
You probably think 10 times before starting the conversation. Think about
lines.
A lot of other things of how it's going to lead to, I mean, where the conversation will end up going and those kind of things.
Right, because obviously they'll have 100 questions to ask. But how do you ensure that at some point in time, they kind of know that this is what you do. Okay, I'm not going to put you in the spot. I'm going to ask about other friends. You know, now things like smoking, drinking, partying, getting out with your friends, doing things which are not normally what parents expect you to do, or they know you're doing and they don't want to talk about it. How do you guys like know where's the line? How do you know what to talk about, what not to? Have you ever met any of your friends who are very, very open with their parents?
Yeah, I do have a lot of friends who are like super open with their parents. But then again, that comes up with how their relationship with their parents are. I mean, if they're pampered since they're like small and their parents are absolutely okay with them doing anything, so then they're completely free with them, have no problem talking to them about whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. And like, I had a friend's mom that I could always go and talk about anything. Like, you know, so she was not my mom, because my mom's very strict and she might be listening in right now. But I love her. I love her a lot. But I honestly can't tell her a lot of things. And she would really get a little, you know, defensive at times. Why do you have to tell somebody else's mom? But does that happen? Like friends telling certain other parents are cooler about things that they don't take very seriously. They're like, okay, fine.
It depends on how a lot of my friends probably, or even otherwise people in general, look at how the person's going to judge you or perceive what you say to them and how they would react to it. I mean, that's what probably goes on in a lot of children's head most of the times.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I'm going to put you on pause there. So yes, Prerna, you heard it from the youngster. There are so many things you genuinely cannot really open up. Because we are from two different generations, and it's not just two. It's, I think, many generations in between, if you look at kids of today and parents. And this is something that will always transcend time, right? There's always going to be a big gap. Certain parents are able to bridge it because they are with the times, and maybe the way they work, their careers, their lives are like that. Or maybe they're in circumstances which some parents are in the media, some parents are very traveled, so it's easy to talk about things, but certain parents you can't. So how do you work this out?
Definitely, you know, a lot of our mindsets come in the way of communication. And if I am not comfortable talking about the birds and bees,
yeah,
or I am, as soon as my son tells me I like a girl, I jump up to think, is she of the same caste? What will happen? Is this guy going to elope? You know, those kind of fears just come in. All that really hampers communication. But the bottom line, Jane, is that, like Dhruv said, if we remember that we are communicating to connect, then every parent wants to be there for their child. They want to guide their child. They want to be there in times of trouble for their children. And the only way out to be there is to know what's happening in a child's life.
Yeah, you'd rather know than not know, yeah, and just guess, right?
Absolutely. And I'm like,
I do know some parents are like, it's okay, we don't want to know everything. We do know, because obviously they've gone through it as well. But as long as the child is safe, it's all right. Is that a comfortable zone to be in as well?
I think for each family, different things work. Mm-hmm. And if you're so uncomfortable talking about certain things, it's okay to lean on other adults in your life to help children out with certain issues. Mm-hmm. Because the main thing is to help your child. And just making that environment open, working on yourself, I think, is the first thing. If I'm not comfortable with what my child is saying, you know, so sometimes I find myself, my daughter comes back and says something they did in the class, and I know I need to tell her, hey, why did you do that? That was wrong. But, you know, just waiting for a minute to just listen, to just give her the space to say whatever she says, and finding another time to maybe think of the lesson which we want to impart. Everything can't be about teaching children.
Absolutely. I think it has to just be acceptance. Sometimes not really commenting on anything and not always jumping at a chance to blame the child or to blame the situation. And just let it be, right? I think that's how it works. We'll come back on the other side and talk some. I have a little cold and so do I. But I think that when I have a cold, I sound a little sexy. At least that's what I convinced myself on radio. You, Chennai, you want to call us and talk to us about what we're talking about, which is basically wires being crossed when it comes to parents and children. Do we have trouble conversing? We did have Dhruv in the studio, 19 years old. He does his BCom and he says there are still so many things that kids can't really go up and talk to their parents straight away. And certain parents you can, certain parents you can't. Prerna did talk about you know, how one can actually reach out and start opening those lines of communication even if they haven't done it before. We find out what you have to say about this. We have a caller who's joining us on the phone lines. Remember, at any time If you want to call us, you can call us on 4242-1048. Well, joining us on the phone lines right now is Rohit. Rohit, good day and welcome to the show.
Morning, Jane.
All right, so Rohit, ninga Chennai boya?
Yes.
Okay, in the area lende call pandringa?
Kodambakkam lende call pandringa.
Okay, awesome, super cool. How is Kodambakkam looking right now? Looking warm, feeling
bright,
hot?
Yes, bright and shiny, quite hot. Nights unexpectedly in December.
I actually like it. I like the sun out in December and I think it should stay out there. Yeah?
That's right.
All right, so tell us, Rohit, what are your comments? What do you do? Are you in college or are you working?
I work, actually.
You work? Okay, you sound like a college boy. Go ahead, tell us, Rohit.
Okay, see, we grew up with parents who were quite open, they're very friendly with us.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always a small sense of reservation that we had in terms of discussing certain topics with them.
Absolutely, I like that word. That is the right word, the reservation word, because you don't know how they're going to react, so you normally don't open it up. It's like a can
Absolutely.
Of worms.
Mm-hmm. See, with regard to talking to them about boyfriends and girlfriends, we had absolutely no issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were in our very early teens itself, they told us very clearly that they had no problems with us having a boyfriend mm-hmm. or a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
but they had just two clauses. One was, be serious about what you're doing. Don't goof around with your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And two, and more importantly, ensure that it is a healthy relationship.
Okay.
No, in Tamil, kasamusa.
No kasamusa. Now that kasamusa is eventually going to happen, isn't it? It's just that that kasamusa cannot be talked about to them and you stay safe. That's the only way.
True in a sense. It depends on...
So you're telling me that you didn't do any kasamusa?
If I can be honest, I'll say yes. I did not.
You did not, is it? Wow, that's so. Since they gave you the freedom to date, you actually took those rules seriously.
That actually is what is important in bringing up a child.
Mm-hmm.
When you draw lines, no, there's always the temptation and always that urge to want to cross over and see what's on the other side.
Absolutely. I studied in a college where they said boys no talk to girls, but then we ended up I think dating everyone, dated everybody that they could within those 4 years. I think so. The line, you know, when you draw that line up, you record it straight in white, it should be black and white, then you'll definitely cross the line.
What I feel should be done is, like in our case, they didn't put a fence around us.
Mm-hmm.
They ensured that there was a fence with a gate in between.
Okay.
So they told us there's a fence but there's also a gate. When you think it's right for you to go through the gate, when you think you're prepared to go through the gate, then you go through. Don't jump the fence and go.
And every time they're not standing at the gate, like they're not gatekeepers, literally, right? So you have the freedom to decide, you have the freedom to figure out, because you have that gate, you can use it, so you won't use it unnecessarily.
Yes, and on certain topics that we could not discuss with them, see, that was more from our side. We were not sure if they would be open to talking about it.
Like what? What couldn't you discuss then?
Sexuality and the birds and the bees. Like
yes, like our bodies.
Yes. So those sort of things. It's not like I'm sure they would have been uncomfortable, but they wouldn't have just shunned us away.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely found a way to address the topic. But
right.
We felt a little bad talking to them about it being parents and stuff.
Absolutely. And I also think that today or at any point in time, youngsters have enough resources of people around them that they can talk to about it. Their peers, maybe other older people who are more open. Sometimes it's easier to talk to somebody else who's older rather than your parents about such
yes.
things. Right? So I
That's
think...
It was actually a little comfortable for us because we had my... neighbor, my friend's mom,
mm-hmm.
who was very, very, very open to talking about anything, and she was like, she's actually like my second mom.
That's beautiful. Exactly like what I said on air some time back. I think all of us find these mentors, people we can just be very open about and talk to. The other day, I was talking to a good friend of mine in the US after a very long time. I'm actually her sister's friend, very, very close friend, but I don't talk to the sister too much. But this girl and me, we just talk about everything. So I feel like she's my older sister, anything at all. Like I'm talking about things I can never talk to my parents or to, you know, any other older people. I can always open up and she can do the same. So I guess we all find these kind of mentors to open those lines of communication, right?
Yes. There's just one more thing.
Go ahead.
For parents. Parents tend to have this parental ego that they hold on to and they don't want other people to advise them on how to bring their child up and stuff. See, I'm a father myself. I have a four and a half year old son.
Mm-hmm.
But how my wife and I have decided consciously to be is open to anything that anyone has to say to us about how we need to bring our child up. Of course, taking the opinion and using it is one thing, but just directly in their face saying, no, you don't tell me how to bring up my child, is not something that should be done.
Absolutely.
Because my parents, when there were certain things like my mom couldn't talk to us about, she would, without any hesitation, go to the aunt I talked about, my neighbor's, my friend's mom. She would go there and tell her, this is what I want to talk to my son or my daughter. You handle it. So my mom never hesitated to do that, and my friend's mom never hesitated to talk to us about it. And she never, at any point, at no point did she ever mention that my mom had asked her to talk to us about it. She brought it in her own way, and of course, as we grew up, we kind of figured that, okay, this was definitely not from her, but from my mom through her.
Right. So I guess getting help of any sort is not wrong. Anything today, we are not superhuman beings, right? It's very difficult for us to know everything. So getting help, whether it is from an association of people who reach out, like Parenting Matters, or with the neighbors or people who are like from the fraternity, maybe other parents who have kids the same age, these are ways that you can really reach out and let that ego down and know that, you know, you cannot know everything. That's the beauty of it. It also teaches the children a lot of lessons in sharing and saying, hey, you know what, if mom and dad can do that for us, why can't we do this for them, right? It's a bridge. All right. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. I do remember you called us during the floods, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes. How are your children? Your two sons?
I have one son, and the other was my sister's son that I spoke
son.
About.
Yes, he was not well, right?
After that, he had a bad cold and stuff, and stomach also. He's better now, but I think the day after I spoke to you, not because of you, but my son happened to fall the next day. Even though doctor had advised on your show, doctor had advised that we not panic or anything.
Right.
Not out of panic, but just to ensure that all my parents and my in-laws are at rest, because both of them are not in the city.
Right.
So we packed my wife and my son off to Cochin.
Super
just
cool.
For everyone to have peace.
Are they back now?
No, they're back only after Christmas. I'll be leaving on the 26th.
So enjoy your Christmas here and your New
Thank
Year
you.
There. And
Thank
keep the big smile. Thanks, Rohit, for sharing
Thank you.
Your thoughts.
Good day.
Thank you very much. Well, that was Rohit who gave us a call. Prerna, any thoughts?
What I'd like to say is it's so heartwarming to hear, you know, what Rohit shared about his mother being open, about him being open. And through our workshops, that's what we see. Parents more and more. See, I mean, Jane, what trains us to become parents? There is absolutely no course which prepares us. We're just on the job as soon as we get our children. And so to have this kind of openness to explore options. So I can share about myself, you know, when my 11-year-old daughter came and asked me, Ma, what's sex? So it's about being comfortable with these things, because after all, if I don't answer those questions, she's going to go and just Google it in a minute.
Absolutely.
They have their computers to the disposal. And then the pictures which come up are really detrimental, because they just don't paint the whole thing in the right light.
Absolutely.
And so I can actually picture myself, you know, I stood in front of the mirror and I was deep breathing, and, you know, I read books, and I was like talking to the mirror as if I was talking to my daughter. And then it doesn't end there, because once you explain to an 11-year-old in the simplest possible way, the next question is, so do you and Papa do it? And, you know, so one has to be just ready and open to whatever comes your way. Inside, you might be cringing and you might be really wondering, you know, oh my God, now what do I answer? I could feel my pulse quickening. But to your child, you need to be open to say, you can ask me whatever and we are going to talk about it. So those kind of things encourage. And I think the most important thing at our disposal is to be a good listener. If we are not going to model the listening to our children, they are never going to be listening to what we are going to be telling them.
Absolutely. And it is a two-way street. That's how it works. Well, it's good that you brought that topic up, because I know young ones come up and all the time parents have no clue what to really talk to them about, not just sex, but also with increasing number of sexual offenders out there on the prowl for young kids. It's very important to tell them what's a good touch, what's a bad touch, when you need to know if, you know, their privacy has been violated. I know a lot of my friends are boys whose privacy has been violated on buses in Chennai. And they don't know who to talk about it to. As they're growing up, I guess friends are the only ones they can talk to. But I guess today parents are much more open to talking to their children about these things. And somewhere there is that conversation that has started. Dhruv, tell us, what would you like to comment at this point in time? You've heard the caller, you've heard Prerna.
What I'd like to say is that not all children have these kind of parents who are open to talking.
I agree with you. Not every parent will be a Prerna or a Rohit. That will not happen to everybody, right?
So it becomes, I think, 10 times more difficult for them when they see their peers who are so free with their parents, and they are not able to communicate that to their parents or get that communication.
Would this be the majority of the children? Like at least 8 out of 10 children will not be able to talk, right? About everything.
Yeah, 70% probably.
Correct, right.
So it's, yeah, like Rohit said, it's more of a two-way communication thing. That, I mean, if a child wants to, or you know, he's looking for an opportunity to make that conversation, it is fair only if the parent is in the same state of mind to talk about it.
Absolutely. If not, I'm just saying it's not necessary that you put it on their shoulders. Find somebody else who can mentor you with that. That's also another possibility, right? That's an option. You can't always force the parent. Maybe some parents will not change, or some children are probably a little too difficult to handle. So I kind of think, to maintain that balance, it's good to open your lines of communication with friends, with people who are older than you, who somehow become your mentors. Isn't that maybe also another possibility?
Yeah, that is a possibility. But again, I think the parents have that worry of what if you go and approach the wrong person to talk about these things too.
So it's ideal that they start talking about things, right? So if someone's listening in today, if there's a way that you can reach out, even if you've never done it before, find those lines of communication. Maybe have a sit down with your child. If it's a young adult or it's a growing child, 10 to 11, you know, it's good to sit your child down and say, hey, you know what, I might look like a scary person, I might look like someone you cannot approach, but if you want to talk about anything at all, I'm here. I think that in itself will be a big difference, right? Yes, Prerna.
Yeah, so again, you know, it's not like today I want to talk about my child about this thing and I'm going to sit him down.
Yeah.
Because communication doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
My child just comes from school now. I've been resting I've been enjoying my day. I've taken a day off, and as soon as my child comes, I question him. How was your day? What and all? And then, you know, I find parents complaining. Even in our workshops, my child doesn't talk to me. But are we really consciously choosing the right time?
Correct.
Are we creating those opportunities?
So when do we do this is again very crucial.
Very crucial.
Maybe over a meal, very quietly.
Meal times are fabulous when you're driving in the car. Certain topics, you know, parents share with us which are difficult to talk about. You avoid eye contact and you talk about them when you're driving. Or, you know, with boys, when you're playing something, like say your father and son are playing tennis or badminton or doing something.
So establishing a comfort zone and then kind of creating a conversational dialogue between the two people is also a good way of doing it, instead of saying, hey, you know what, let's do it now. Let's do it when you're not ready for it, and just make it awkward for everybody.
Yes.
Good. Normally, we talk about how parents and children really can make better relationships, and we are creating an awareness that though parenting is unique and customized and different in each household, we're trying to make it a little better, and we're trying to put that big smile on your faces as well. On the show today, we have two guests. Normally, first guest, we have Prerna. She's a certified parent educator from Parenting Matters, and we have Dhruv. He's 19 years old, and Avrudia, last insight was the fact that while 30% of the kids have parents who are really cool and they can talk about anything at all, 70%, that is the majority, I would say it's even 80, don't really have those three lines of communication, not just on tough topics like, you know, sex and getting out there, careers, not only on the tough ones, big decisions of your life and the somewhat, you know, great areas of what you normally can't talk, but even regular things which you can't express very fully. And I agree with him, because though I have a very open relationship with my parents, I've seen friends struggle constantly, and even with my parents, there's certain things I totally can't talk about. So iniki shola, you know, towards the final segment before we get our next guest, Dr. V. Suresh, on the show, what we're trying to do is giving you a couple of thoughts and insights and inputs into how the communication lines can be opened if they already haven't. Is there a way we can start things again? Which is where Prerna said in any conversation that you want to have, it needs to be built very comfortably with your child. You can't just go straight to your child and say, you know what, open your mouth, talk now, tell me what's happening. You can't do that. There has to be a context and there has to be a lot of love, and that's how it works. Also during the flood situation in Chennai, we had a lovely boy, youngster from Shishya, who had gone out and helped the Blue Cross, and the parents were telling us about how that communication line was open. That now this boy who had gone to school, done his regular things, had no idea what a rescue operation would look like, but he was very clearly instructed by his mom to follow the person right on top, who was a trained commando, so he knew what waters to get into, what not to get into. So, you know, there were the lines of communication that were open, and then the boy went out and did it. So what we're only trying to say is everything cannot be extremely open. At the same time, it can't be closed. Like a caller pointed out, it is like there is a fence, but a fence with a gate. And I like the way he put that for us. Rohit, you wanted to start something out here. Go ahead, tell us. Dhruv, go ahead.
Yeah, something that I wanted to say is I've noticed a lot of times that a lot of children, including myself, who like come back immediately from school or college and get onto the laptops or mobiles and no watch TV or something, and parents basically want their children to stop doing that, so they use the conversation like, oh, how was your day and what did you do at school, as a conversation starter, which really wouldn't lead to having a really, you know, productive, healthy conversation. Yeah,
correct.
So I think, I mean, also timing plays a very major role, as when you see what your child is doing, I mean, how they're occupied. So even a child is like completely free and not preoccupied with something else to be able to speak about, you know, what they have to.
Right. So it has to be a context that's set. Maybe meal times are a great time to talk, or maybe, you know, sometimes you just can take that time off. So it's a coming together, because you can't always blame the parent or the child. If you're always in the computer, I know kids who are on the computer for like a long time and they don't listen to their parents to get off.
Yeah.
But then that also, you need to tell the child that, hey, you know what, you can't be in the computer for like 10 hours a day. You need to take a break. You need to go out there and exercise, get some cardio, get a workout, get a life. That's also something that can happen.
Yeah.
So there has to be a kind of meeting of the minds, and then that conversation happens.
Absolutely.
Instead of just pushing it and shoving it on the child. Good, thanks for that point. Prerna, solunga.
It's very interesting listening to Dhruv's point of view, because, you know, you get to hear the other side of the, you know, the tables are turned. You get to hear what the children are thinking. And really, what I would like to say to parents is that it starts with us. And of course, we spoke about the context, but the second thing is, are we really listening, or are we just spending our time? Are we like instructing our children, do this, do that, you haven't done this? Are we really just putting off our mobile phones and making that eye contact, sitting and listening to our children? And then secondly, what does every person require? That when I'm talking, the other person should be able to understand me, to be able to empathize with me. You know, so, okay, I understand how difficult it was for you when that girl broke your heart. Or, ouch, the teacher shouted at you in front of the entire class, how embarrassing. You know, so these kind of responses, or if you don't know what to say, just saying, really? Apriya? Oh, that's what happened?
At least some, you know, kind of reaction, instead of just jumping straight on them and giving them
advice. And, you know, you don't have to jump straight away to reach the teachable moment and give them solution. You know what you should have done? You should have told your friend that, you know, you can't hit me. So those kind of things, like advising or comparing or defending the other person. My teacher scolded me. What did you do? You know how we just jump in with our preconceived notions? All these things block communication. And if we just remember that every interaction we have with our children is actually laying the foundation of a solid, you know, relationship, then, you know, automatically having that in our, that as a guiding force, we'll automatically get to communicate with our children and words will just flow.
Absolutely. And if that communication is open in life later on as well, it's beautiful, right? You can talk to your colleagues about anything, you can talk to your partner about anything. And I think children, the way they grow up is very crucial, because that's who they become when they become adults as well. So that kind of transparency in a house, a kind of open communication, when to talk, how to talk, how to really keep the family going. And I think also, this is something that I would like to appeal to all parents, at least once in a week, if not once a week, once a fortnight. Go out as a family. I think that also makes sense. Sometimes, you know, in the same house, the same four walls, the same routine, you can't break that monotony. Get out, have dinner, lunch. If there are young adults listening, take your parents out. If they have never, you know, gone out, if they're not in their habit of doing it, take them out. It's
and
nice.
That once a week, can we leave our mobile phones away or in the car at least?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
For a meeting, we can put it on silent. Then why not for a family outing?
Absolutely. I think that time that you spend, maybe that little vacation or that break, it is vacation time. I know a lot of children had too many holidays in between, but a lot of people are taking those mini breaks. I think those mini breaks with the family also helps. I know a person who's never holidayed with his parents ever in life, and then suddenly he started holidaying, you know, and enjoying it. So this time around, when he went back, he's working, he's taken his parents out, and they're very happy. Actually, they now, when your son grows up and your son takes you out, they are as open to it. Maybe they've never done it before, because I don't think holidaying, going out of the family, was a big part of anyone's lives in those days. So if we're able to do that even as a child, after having grown up, I think that kind of inclusivity makes a lot of difference. Before your parents reach that second childhood, I think it's good if you enjoy that whole process of growing up with them, right?
Right.
Thank you so much. Dhruv, any final comments on the show today?
I mean, what I'd like to say is, probably if a child wants to go up to their parents and say something without thinking too much of how their parents would react, probably it's just about taking the first step and then going with the flow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that just makes communication with parents like a lot easier. Like, it's just about going and making that initiative of just, you know, starting the first dialogue or whatever.
Alright, that first line really matters, because after that you somehow find the bridge
flow
and the flow to take things forward. But yeah, make that step today. So whether you're a parent, or whether you're a young adult, or whether you're a little one, whoever's listening in right now, make that attempt to talk, not only to your parents and, you know, to people in the family. I think it's important to just communicate to people. It's very, very important to say what you feel, even to peers, colleagues, to your boss. If there's an uncomfortable situation, it's better to talk about it than keep it for later and let it explode. So make those communication lines easier. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk to our very special guest. I'm going to ask him to...